You ever noticed how it seems pretty normal for the people in the Bible to hear God's voice? Anyone notice that? Show of hands if you've noticed that the people in the Bible hear God's voice. Either the rest of you are in disagreement or just don't feel like cooperating. We did a workshop called Hearing God's Voice a while back. It was about 15 weeks on a Friday night. And we watched sort of hour-long lectures each week and then did the practice of the actual times of prayer, conversational prayer. Sometimes it's called listening prayer. I have found listening prayer to be one of the most helpful ways of facilitating a robust, healthy relationship with God in my life. Those times when I have not disciplined myself to listen to the Lord and to spend some time, not even hours, just some time, communing with God, quieting myself, listening to what he has to say, writing it down, trying to remember it. Those times that I've neglected that, I would consider those, even if life's going well, those are not the best seasons of my walk with God. Incidentally, sometimes the worst seasons of life, in terms of how life's going, are the best seasons of your relationship with God. Has anyone else noticed that? I saw a Spurgeon quote the other week that said something to the effect of, I've learned to kiss the waves that drive me to the Savior. It's very true that sometimes when life is feeling overwhelming and difficult and we feel like we're losing, St. John of the Cross said this quote, I felt like it was very helpful. Sometimes the soul is making the most progress when it feels that it is losing. But what I've noticed is that when life's going well, it's easy for me sometimes to neglect the simplicity of sitting with the Savior and listening to his voice and writing down what he has to say and giving him my heartfelt desires. But today I would like to just give you a brief refresher course of what we learned from, what was his name, Mark Verkler. He's kind of a dorky, geeky guy with a funny voice, but an absolutely amazing teacher, extremely effective teacher. I want to just remind us of some of the things we went through in that course, in one sermon, and then at the very end, I want us to do the practice, which means that in about a half hour, most of you will hear God's voice. Now, I like how Mark Verkler says it. He's funny. He talks about the struggle that he went through where he grew up and never heard God's voice, and then he became a Pentecostal because he thought surely they would hear God's voice, and he prayed in tongues and still never heard God's voice, and then he went to Bible school thinking that would get him to the place in spirituality where he would hear God's voice, but he never heard God's voice then, and then he became a pastor and still couldn't hear God's voice, and he said, that's not fair, that's not right, I should hear God's voice, I'm serving you full time, but the worship leader did, and so he called the worship leader aside and said, what does God's voice sound like? And he said, well, the guy just said something which is extremely unhelpful, makes you want to punch him in the face, and that is, well, you just know that you know that you know. And if you don't know, that's infuriating. So he backslid for a little while, but you can't backslide too much as a preacher. You get about 5 days leeway before you got to write a sermon, and you know you don't want to try to preach a sermon without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, so Friday's coming, and then you have to repent again and try to get close to God because, oh my goodness, we have a job to do here. And he actually did struggle with this, but suddenly this thought came to him after like 15 years of being a Christian and not hearing God's voice and being angry at all the people who made it look easy. And if it's easy for you, you might not actually recognize what you're doing that's working. So you might be a terrible teacher if you're good at something. Anyone? Usually the things you struggle to get are the things that you're able to contribute to others. Your biggest weakness ends up being your greatest strength later. So finally, this idea came to Mark, why don't you spend a year in focused effort doing nothing but trying to learn to hear the voice of God? So he went to a full year. The only books he purchased and the only seminars he went to and the only speakers he listened to was on how to hear the voice of God. He went to a Catholic seminar on hearing God's voice, which scared him because he thought Catholics weren't saved and they had, you know, the mark of the beast and the Antichrist and all that stuff because of his upbringing. He thought all those dangerous things. So he went and he looked in their eyes expecting to see demons and trying to figure out, are you okay? Are you not okay? And all he saw was that they seemed to be a lot more happy and a lot more content and a lot more at peace and a lot more loving than he was. So he concluded that if anyone had a demon, it might be him, not them. Then they gave him holy water and said, sprinkle this on some stuff. And he said, I'm out of here. This is ridiculous. He walked outside, dumped his holy water on a dead stump and said, God, this is absurd. I'm not coming here. This is dumb. Teach me how to hear your voice, but don't use these people. They're weird. And then the Lord said, this is funny because he didn't know it was the Lord yet, right? He just thought he was having ideas come into his head. This idea came to him. What do you believe about holy handkerchiefs? And he thought, what? Well, that's in Acts chapter 19, where handkerchiefs that Paul touched were taken to the sick and they got healed and demons came out of them. And he goes, nuts, these people are legit. I guess it is possible for the anointing to transfer to a physical item. I guess I have to go in there and listen to what they have to say. So Verkler learned a couple of keys in that first session, and he began to journal. And he took it to his wife and said, do you think this is God? And she said, that's absolutely God. And he went back and he journaled all afternoon, forgot everything that was on his agenda. And since that time of 15 years of not hearing God's voice and then struggling for a year to hear God's voice, and now he can, he's gone all over the world instructing people in some very simple tools that help you to open yourself to the Lord and hear his voice. Would you like to hear them? All right, let's get started. Uh-oh. There, oh, good. It switched resolution. Did you see that? It's thinking about things today. Make it real simple. Stop, look, listen, write. Can you get any simpler? Stop, look, listen, write. Say it with me. Stop, look, listen, write. Okay? Let's go through these. The first step, if you want to hear God's voice, is to be still. Be still. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know. When will you know? When you're still. Quiet yourself. Calm yourself down. Psalm 37:7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently before him. And one of my favorite prayers of David is Psalm 131, where he says, I don't consume and concern myself with things too high and lofty to me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Is like a weaned child with its mother is my soul within me. The first step to hearing God's voice is to quiet your own inner noise down. Because there's a lot of noise in your mind that can keep you from recognizing God's voice. It's not that he's not available or speaking, but anxiety, stress, hurry, resentment, racing thoughts, agendas for the day, the morning, distractions, all of these things crowd out God's voice. So the first step is to stop and to be still, to quiet yourself. And, of course, in this kind of thing, I'm reminded of 1 Kings chapter 19, where Elijah is on this mountain, and he's had this traumatic experience. You know, the fire's fallen, and now he's on the run from the queen, and Jezebel's trying to kill him, and he thinks he's all alone. And he's had a hard stream of... He actually had a great victory, but for some reason now he's physically exhausted, and his emotions have overwhelmed his perspective. And then it says there's this great wind on the mountain, but the Lord's voice wasn't in the wind. And then it says there's this huge earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was this fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And then it says that there was the sound of sheer silence. And Elijah wrapped his cloak around himself and came out to the mouth of the cave, and that's when God talked. Are we tracking? The first one is to stop, to be still, to quiet yourself. And I find some simple exercises of breathing are good for this. Sit down, breathe deeply into your nose and out of your mouth, and intentionally relax your body. Focus on your breathing just to distract you from all the racing, crazy thoughts. And then, once you've quieted yourself, oh, and by the way, then you can begin to listen, but... There's another passage, and this is kind of counterintuitive. When I say stop, when I say be quiet, that doesn't mean silence is always the best way to attain quiet. Music is often an incredibly helpful way to quiet your soul. Now, I'm not talking about, like, you know, heavy metal and, like, reggae and stuff that's, like, upbeat and makes you want to sing along. I'm talking about Elisha had some people come to him and say, we need a word from the Lord. This is 2 Kings chapter 3. And he said, give me a musician. Bring me a musician. And someone came and began to do the kind of stuff we were probably doing up here, except minus electricity. And then the word of the Lord comes to Elisha. Music has this powerful capability of directing our spirits and souls to an openness to God. Amen. You don't have to use music, but you may use music as a means of being still and stopping. So that's the first one. Stop. Be still. What were they again? Stop, look, listen, and write. So the second one, look. Once you've calmed and quieted yourself, begin to look. Now, what are we saying look with? I don't mean like look around the room. Scripture talks about the eyes of our heart. Ephesians 1:17 is this gorgeous prayer of the Apostle Paul. He's praying for the eyes of our hearts to be enlightened in order that we might know the hope to which we're called. A word about how Scripture is meant to work in our lives. Scripture is meant to present something to us in words that we imagine and picture in our mind. That's how it's supposed to work. So that when I tell you that Jesus was crucified for your sins, you're not supposed to just hear that as analytical speech and hear the logic of it. You're supposed to picture it and have it be represented to you as though it were happening right now. And when I say that he rose from the dead, you're supposed to see him rise from the dead in your mind. And when I say that he ascended into heaven, high above all rule and authority, and now he's seated and reigning on his throne, you're supposed to picture him in heaven, seated on his throne, over all the power of the evil one and every other human authority, reigning, looming large and powerful. And then when you hear the apostles say, and you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all rule. You're supposed to picture that, and that picture in your mind is supposed to dominate the threats that you see around you in your daily life. Do you understand this, right? You're supposed to have your imagination picture the truths that are proclaimed, and then that picture is supposed to root you deeply in the truths that are invisible. So that which is visible to these eyes doesn't dominate that which is visible to these eyes. I don't know if that made sense, but that was really good. This is so clear. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, what has happened to you? Who has bewitched you? Christ Jesus was clearly portrayed to you as crucified. Does he mean they put on a passion play? No. Does he mean that they did a skit with music? No. He means, when I told you about this, the Holy Spirit made this thing vivid and visually available to you like it was happening now. That's what your imagination is supposed to do in serving your faith. So when I say, look, I mean with the eyes of your heart. Where do you look with the eyes of your heart? Well, Hebrews chapter 12 says to fix our eyes on Jesus. Again, is he talking about physical eyes? If he is, I guess we better get a bunch of little statues and put them up everywhere and just walk around with them. Fix our eyes on Jesus at all times. Carrying. What are you doing, buddy? I'm fixing my eyes on Jesus. No, wrong eyes, bucko. What does it mean to fix your eyes on Jesus? Well, David, in Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching, right? Day of Pentecost. And Peter quotes David as saying, I saw the Lord, Acts 2:25, I saw the Lord always before me. For he is at my right hand so that I will not be shaken. I think it is completely legit for you to picture a large Jesus walking with you throughout your days. Because that picture is representative of truth. Anyway, back to the point at hand. First thing is we stop. Don't trip over the drum. First thing is we stop, we quiet ourselves. And then the second thing is we look with the eyes of our heart to see him. Now, by the way, you don't have to do it these way. These are four keys that really helped Mark Verkler and I think can really help you. The third step is to listen to the Holy Spirit, to tune to the Holy Spirit. I've said there's a lot of static, there's a lot of noise, so we have to quiet ourselves. Not every voice within me is God. I remember right before Randy Clark went up to Toronto, he got this prophetic word. And part of the prophetic word was, and do not become anxious, because when you become anxious, you cannot hear my voice. I thought that was a fascinating insight, that anxiety sort of chokes us up and causes us to clamp down on the inside so that we're not in the posture to be able to readily and easily hear God. When I talk about tuning to the Holy Spirit or listening to the Holy Spirit, again, this is where it gets a little tricky because people say things like, well, you just know. How do you know it's you? How do you know it's not just you? How do you know? Or if you're really a paranoid person, and this is just not even remotely how I think, I don't even think this way. What if it's the devil? Like, that doesn't even enter my mind, but I recognize with some of you it does. Well, you test these things, but you don't test them now, you test them later. If you try to test them now, you'll be on defense, and you'll get anxious, and you'll actually have your walls up so high you can't hear anybody's voice, except your own racing thoughts. 1 Corinthians 14, Paul distinguishes between the spirit in a human and the mind in a human. Isn't that an interesting distinction? He says that if we pray in tongues, our spirit is praying, but our mind is unfruitful, or our mind doesn't know what's going on. Now, this is a very fascinating thing. I remember a time when we were laying in bed, and Carrie was praying for me. And she was praying in tongues over me. She just gently, I'm laying back, relaxed, and she's praying over me in tongues. And while she's praying, this soothing warmth just comes over me. I allow myself to relax. And by the way, when you're receiving prayer, stop praying. Quit it. Don't. If someone's praying for you, stop agreeing and stop saying amen and stop working hard and joining in. No, 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 that's not appropriate. When you're receiving prayer, relax yourself, get passive, and just receive from the Father. You have a hard time receiving what the person is actually praying down upon you. Oftentimes they're praying grace down on you, but you're working so hard that you're not in a posture of receiving grace. Grace is a gift. You don't receive gift. You don't like fight your way out and wrestle the packages away from the UPS man. You just put your hands out. Okay. I mean, I guess you could. You could, but he'll have a weird. He'll try to get a new route. But Paul talks about when you pray in a tongue, your mind is unfruitful, but your spirit is built up. So I knew I was being built up. Carrie's praying over me in tongues. I'm being built up. She's praying in accordance with the will of God, the perfect will of God, because the Holy Spirit is praying through her, even though she doesn't know what she's praying. And I don't know what she's praying, but man, the peace of God's falling on me. And I said, do you have any idea what you're praying? She said, no. I said, well, try to pay attention to what you begin to picture in your mind while you're praying in tongues for me. I said, I've noticed that while I'm praying in tongues, I'm also oftentimes praying intelligible things at the same time. And I don't mean I'm trying to. I mean that I find that I am thinking of specific people, thinking of specific things, as I'm also praying in tongues. I said, I suspect that is the interpretation. So she went back to praying, and I started trying to listen. I started trying to hear an interpretation. In my spirit, is there any word emerging? And I got this word, sing. And I thought, what am I doing? I'm striving again. I need to relax and just receive. So I said, okay, I'll shut that down. So I shut that down and I went back into receiving mode. And when I was done, I said, now, did you get any impressions and pictures while you were praying for me? And she said, yeah, actually I did. I was asking the Father to sing a lullaby over you. Well, then we both cried, especially me. Because number one, that's awesome. That's sweet and precious. And number two, I got the word sing as confirmation that that is in fact what her spirit was praying. Now, what we were doing was we were tuning ourselves to the subtleties of what the spirit in us was saying instead of just dismissing everything in the mind as being only me. With practice, you can get much better at recognizing what's him and what's you, but it does take practice. It does take practice. This is an interesting point. Where do you hear God most easily? Where do I hear God most easily? Well, when I'm not trying. When I'm in the shower, I hear God easily. I mean, really easily. Because I'm on autopilot, man. The last thing I'm thinking about is now I'm going to have to hear God. What are you saying to me now, Father? No, there's none of that religious junk going on. I'm just taking a shower. My imagination is going and my mind is wandering. And those are the times that I often have the most clear communications from God. Or when I'm mowing the yard. Why? Because I'm not trying. This is one of those funny things like, what is it, in The NeverEnding Story where he has to walk through the mirror, but he can't walk through the mirror unless he doesn't want to walk through the mirror. It's a little tricky. But the point here is this. Striving is not cool. Striving is not the way to go when you want to hear God's voice. Settling down, calming down, making yourself receptive, and learning to tune to the Holy Spirit. Now, what should you be looking for? You should be looking for spontaneous thoughts that bubble up. You're not looking for analytical thoughts that follow logically from the last thought. That's called human reasoning. There's nothing wrong with human reasoning. Human reasoning can be inspired by the Holy Spirit. It can be very good. But what we're looking for is the voice of God, not human reasoning. So we're not looking for analytical thoughts, me thinking this through and then this through and then this through. We're talking about thoughts that spontaneously arise or bubble up. A frequent report when people think they hear God is, the thought just, do you know what the next phrase is? Came to me. The reason that that becomes such a common expression, right along with still small voice, is because your spirit kind of drops this thought, often seemingly unrelated to the line of reasoning that was going on, the stream of consciousness that was already going on, and then the thoughts will begin to flow. You say, why do you say they would flow? Well, isn't it interesting that when the scripture talks about the Holy Spirit is talked about as breath, as water, and as wind? All of those are sort of flowing things. I find that fascinating that the metaphors in the Bible are all flowing. And that's exactly what it feels like when the voice of God emerges in your mind as a spontaneous thought. John 7:38, Jesus said, as the scriptures have said, from his innermost being, whoever believes in him and comes to him and drinks from him, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. I recognize that this point will be the one the most challenges or the most problems or the most confusion will be at, but I'm just going to have to leave it like that and say, tune, quiet, stop, look, listen, stop, quiet, calm yourself down. Picture yourself with Jesus. That's a helpful way to do it. Or picture yourself with the Father. And then tune to the Holy Spirit. And what I mean is tune to spontaneity. Next one. See, we're almost done. This is so easy. Literally, a child can do this, unless they can't write, in which case they can do this anyway without writing. Yeah, fourth one, right. Now, this is not essential. Like, if you can't write, if you don't know how to read and write, that's not a big deal. If you don't like to write, if you're like Carl Chupp and you hate writing, this is no big deal. Yeah, Carl hears God's voice very easily, but he hates to write. Who cares? No big deal. This is not essential, but here's why I find writing helpful. Colossians 4:2 tells us to devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Now, being watchful is the key to being thankful. When you're watchful, when you pay attention to what you prayed and what God answered, and you remember that, that's what causes you to be thankful. When you have a track record of obedience and walking with God, where you put your requests before him and he actually answers prayer, either verbally or situationally, man, that creates a personal history with you that is going to build momentum in your life. It's going to build faith. It's going to build thankfulness. And I think one of the most helpful ways to be watchful is to delegate memory to technology. Either type it down, write it down, text yourself, email yourself, take an Instagram picture of what you wrote so that you don't lose the paper later. I don't know or care. But delegating this difficult thing called remembering to technology is brilliant. Things really begin to take off for humanity when we learn to write, because then we could accumulate knowledge instead of forgetting everything that someone else discovered or that we discovered. Are you hearing me? One of the most helpful ways of being watchful in prayer is to write down what you prayed and write down what God said or did so that you can be thankful. Pretty much most of what God said to me in my life would be forgotten if I didn't write it down. I've got maybe about 4 or 5 big deal, you know, high watermark, wow, life-shaping encounters with God that I will remember no matter what. But most of the little things he said to me along the way, I would totally forget if I didn't write them down somewhere. And remembering them, coming back to them, and reminding myself of them can be exceptionally powerful in building a life of faith in me and in keeping me on target with my calling, with my specific calling. You know, like Paul said to Timothy, he said, hey, remember the prophecies that were spoken about you. Use them to stir yourself up and to fight the good fight of faith. There were specific prophetic words spoken over Timothy that Paul said, discipline yourself to keep those prophecies in your mind and in your memory so that you don't get off mission. There's plenty of things in the sort of Christian world you could be doing that are good things, but you have a specific calling and the prophetic words line you up to it. Hold on to them. Remember them. Use them to fight the fight of faith. This is important stuff. I find it helpful to write them down. Numerous passages in the Bible where somebody hears God's voice and they're instructed to write it down, or they write a letter and they send it to somebody else, or they write out their prayer. I mean, the whole book of the Psalms is prayers and songs that were written out to be sung in that generation. They weren't thinking that they were giving us a hymnal, but it was their hymnal. It was also David's prayer journal, which is a pretty cool idea. It also becomes really difficult, I think, to test whether a word is God or not and evaluate its content if you don't write it down. Because you're probably only going to remember the basic gist of it if you don't write it down. And I think it's helpful to test words. I've been journaling what I thought God was saying to me conversationally since I was probably 3 months old, maybe 2 months old in the Lord. I was a brand new baby Christian. I was reading my Bible for hours every single day. And one day I had this conversation with God. I thought, God, I told him, I said, God, I'm talking to you, but I don't hear you saying much back to me except for what's in this book. It would be really cool if I could have like a face-to-face relationship with you like Moses had, you know. But you're invisible. Would it be okay with you, God? This is a funny conversation. I mean, no one taught me to do this. This is just what happened. God, would it be okay with you if when I prayed to you, I wrote down what I think you're saying back to me? And the voice came right away, the thought response came right away, spontaneously. Yep, as long as it matches what's in the Bible, that's fine. Go ahead. And I thought, good. Did not recognize that I was already hearing. You know what I mean? So I began to do that. No one taught me that. I didn't go to a seminar and do that. I began to do that. I would write down my prayers, and then I would write down what I sensed the Lord might be responding based on what I know about him from the Bible. And I would put dotted lines around what he said, but when I would write scripture in my journal, I would put solid lines around that to distinguish between the tentative nature of what I thought God might be saying and the certain nature of what the scripture says. I did that for about a decade, and the whole time I was also praying for the gift of prophecy and didn't know I already had it and was growing in it. Because that's what prophecy is, hearing God and saying what he says. So, we're almost done. Tests. Next. Oh, yeah, that was just a reminder. Yeah, let's do that one. Let's say it one more time together. Back one slide. There we go. Say them with me again. Stop, look, listen, write. Is this simple? Can you get much simpler than this? Quiet yourself down. Look for vision. Tune to the Holy Spirit, which is spontaneous thoughts, and just begin to write whatever you sense. Don't worry about testing it right then and there. You'll have time later to test it. If you get ahead of yourself, you get yourself all bunched up, and then you'll stop it. Don't evaluate now. We'll evaluate later. So let's talk about the evaluation, the test that we do later. We're all wondering, was that really you, God, or was that just me? Here's five tests. What does it say about Jesus? Or really, a better way to put it is, how is this thing oriented toward Jesus? If it affirms, if it glorifies Jesus, you know it's not a demon. All right, that's pretty simple. What does it say about Jesus? 1 John 4:1 says, test the spirits. You're kidding me. Gum? Really? Right here. Right in there. Right there. Naughty. Was that you, Anthony? It was you. Don't let me forget this. Well, and I'm just the guy who would like say that out loud instead of just like let it go. Anything else I should know about? There's a gun patched under here. Oh. Okay. Test number one. What does it say about Jesus? This one's simple, guys. If it's like, I curse Jesus, Jesus is not God, Jesus isn't the Messiah, well, that's not the Holy Spirit. Duh. All right. Number two, does it line up with the Bible? Does it line up with the Bible? Notice I didn't say, is this in the Bible? Is this in the Bible is not what we're looking for. Tennis shoes aren't in the Bible. Laptops aren't in the Bible. Facebook's not in the Bible. Cancer's not in the Bible. Different hemispheres in the brain are not in the Bible. Astronauts are not in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit might talk to you about all of those things. The issue is not, is it in the Bible? The issue is, does it line up with the Bible? Third one, does it line up with God's character? Now, this one's fun. The devil is called the accuser of the brethren, right? So if the things that you are hearing are critical in nature, judgmental toward other people, they're lining up with the wrong person, with the wrong spirit's character, aren't they? If you're like hurt and mad and want to be vindicated and then you go to hear God's voice and everything you think you're hearing is that you're really innocent in all this and they're a jerk and God's gonna judge them for this and all that stuff, it's possible you're only hearing your own soul's pain. It's possible then that a voice from the evil one is just trying to accuse the person that hurts you and pull you into a place of bitterness. If God's the Redeemer, and if he's merciful and gracious, then the heart of it should be redemptive in character. And right along these lines is, what is the fruit of it? If I would believe this is God and walk according to it, what kind of character would it produce in me? What kind of faith would it produce in me? What kind of emotional landscape would it produce in me? If it produces anxiety, resentment, unteachable spirit where you know better than everyone else around you and you alone hear God, well, you know it's not God. If it produces bad fruit, we know what the root is. It's not God. But if it builds you up in your faith, if it encourages you in forgiveness and love to the worst person sinning against you, if it encourages you in servant-hearted humility and love to all people and worship of God and the accomplishment of his will on earth, well, it's probably the Lord. Simple, right? That's not complicated. It's pretty simple. What does it say about Jesus? Does it line up with the Bible? Does it line up with God's character? What is the fruit? And then the fifth one, what do my spiritual advisors say? Now you say, spiritual advisors, what are you talking about, son? friends that you trust, who are spirit-filled, who hear God's voice, and who are living the life in Christ that you aspire to live. Don't submit it to somebody who's like, I don't believe the gifts of the Spirit are for today. They're not going to ever tell you what you're hearing is God. They're going to be absolutely no help to you. You know? Probably don't submit it to someone who hates you, too, because they're going to say you're full of it every time. You're like, nope, you're still wrong, and you're a hypocrite. No. It's got to be someone who loves you, someone who's committed to you, someone who loves Jesus, is spirit-filled and hears God, and is further along, hopefully, than you are in the life for Christ that you want to live. And what you do is you just send it to them. If it's a questionable entry, you just send it to them and you say, what's your spirit telling you? I'm not really asking for you to evaluate this with your brain so much as I'm asking you to literally just read this and get a feel. Do you feel like this is God? And then they can say, nope, for example, or absolutely that's God. And you might be like, nah, I don't know. And they're like, yes, it is. And you're like, I don't know. I don't think so. And they can be like, yes, it is. I've found counsel on these kinds of things extremely helpful. There are words that I would have thrown away as just me or thrown away as just the flesh of a prophet that I ended up keeping when I gave it to people who I trust and they tested the word. You know what I mean? Here's an example. Mark Verkler said there's this lady who came to him and said, I feel like this is what God is telling me. She handed him the thing. I feel like God is telling me that the pastor's wife is a witch. So God's going to kill her, and then I'm going to marry the pastor's wife. I feel like that's what God's saying to me. Oh, man, that's the best ever. Yeah, can I say it again? Because it's just so much fun. I feel like God says to me that the pastor's wife is a witch, so God's going to kill her, and then I'm going to marry the pastor. Yeah. So Mark was like, yeah, that's not God. No, that's not God. Yes, it is. No, no, it's not. Yes, it is. Do you want my counsel or not? Listen, you're giving me grief. You know what? And he's hilarious. He talks about, you know, Scripture says, you know, to submit to your leaders who are over you in the Lord and to do so happily so that their work might be a joy and not a burden, because how would that benefit you? Right? Like if your kid's like, I want to go outside, and you're like, you need a jacket on. I don't want a jacket on. No, you need a jacket on. On the ground. Fine, go outside without a jacket. What do I care? Get out. Have fun. Yeah, that's fine. You don't have to take my counsel. You don't have to listen to me, but I'm here for you. And you out in the cold getting sick, it's bad for you. And this lady not listening to Mark, she can believe that was God, but what's going to happen is, number one, the pastor's wife's not a witch. God's not going to kill her, and she's going to wait 20 years waiting to marry some dude who's already married. It's only going to go bad for her, is my point. Anyway, but I think that was probably my favorite example of, like, what? And he said, why do you think this is God? Well, it came the exact same way that the other things come to me. What do you mean by that? It came with spontaneous thoughts that just came to my mind. Yeah, so there are other spirits in the world besides the Holy Spirit. Nope, this was God. If I haven't heard God this time, I've never heard God. That's one I've heard before in my life. Either this is God, or I'm not even saved. Oh, my word. How about you take all of your eggs and put them in the Jesus basket, you know, and just don't even put any eggs in this basket that are inappropriate. Like, maybe put one egg, like a small egg, in this basket. Anyway, if I haven't heard God this time, I've never heard God. You know what? You're too dramatic for me to be your spiritual advisor. Find a new one, all right? Someone who handles drama better. You don't need to submit every journal entry, by the way, to your friends. Once you're rolling and you feel confident about your ability to hear God, most of what you hear will have immediate resonance. And you'll say, okay, this isn't like a major life decision. We're not like, should I quit the ministry? Like, say it was me. Should I quit the ministry and go like sell, you know, hot dogs in Chicago with a portable hot dog stand? Like, most of them aren't like that. Most of them are like, Tim, forgive so and so. Remember how precious you are to me. you know, you've drifted a little bit here. I want you to pick this back up. I have more stuff for you, Tim. You know, you're neglecting some things that are yours. Most of them are like that. Most of them are not like, you know, sell everything, go buy a hot dog stand and live in Chicago. You know, and if I got a crazy word like that, I would submit it to my friends who love Jesus and hear God's voice, and they would probably say, I'm not seeing that. That's really not feeling right. And your spiritual advisors, by the way, they're not your boss. They're not your bosses. They're not in charge of you. They're your friends. We need to work on this idea of submission a little bit better. We have this idea in our mind of what submission is, and it becomes this who's in charge of you. You know, you can't even find the word umbrella in the Bible. It's just not there. But the idea of spiritual authority is definitely there, and it's always for your good. It's never good for someone to just do whatever's right in their own eyes. There was a time, that phrase is used in the book of Judges. At that time, everyone in Israel just did what was right in their own eyes. That's not a good thing. That means people do stupid stuff thinking it's right, and they're not accountable to each other. All right, this is taking too long. We need to finish. Just a word of response. Some people think that if I'm saying we can hear God's voice, that we're adding to the Bible. We're not adding to the Bible. We're living the Bible out. Like I said, have you ever noticed in the Bible people can hear God's voice? Did you ever notice that Jesus, John chapter 5, he says, I only do what I see the Father doing with what eyes? I only do what I see the Father doing. With what eyes was he seeing the Father do things? Well, at least two people know. With the eyes of his heart. And he says, I only say what I hear the Father saying. With what ears? These ears? No. He was tuning to the Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus walked around constantly in this state of inner conversation and communion with the Father. This is how he lived. Okay? For us to live this way is not adding to the Bible, it's yielding to the Bible. And we don't view our prayer journey as authoritative for other believers. We're not trying to form doctrine here, or at least I'm not. I'm just trying to find direction and communion with God. There's a quote that I just saw in my first Bible. It says, the desire that prompts prayer is for communion with God as life's goal. I think that's powerful. When we use prayer to get stuff from God, we're missing the point of prayer. The desire that prompts prayer is for communion with God as life's goal. All right, I think it's time to do it. What were the four steps? Stop, look, listen, and write. Do you have some kind of writing utensil with you, or can you acquire one in short order? And if you need a piece of paper, there should be blue notes located in the pew in front of you. All right. Are we ready? Maybe I should do it this way. Who's not ready? Nope, still no response. Who is ready? 40% of you are ready. 60% of you didn't raise your hand for the other thing, which I can only assume is this. You want to pass more out if anyone lacks paper? Who needs paper? Raise your hand if you need paper. All right. Go ahead, Keith. This is Julie True, whose voice you'll be hearing, and she composed the music as well. And she's going to be leading us in this little exercise called a walk by the Sea of Galilee or something like that. It's just, if you think it's cheesy, just get over it. Enter it like a child. If you don't enter it like a child, you probably won't hear. If you enter it like a child, I actually promise you, you will hear. And if you don't, there'll be a money-back guarantee that Mark will give you money back. That was a Mark Verkler joke.
Spirit, right now we ask that you would anoint each one of our eyes and anoint our ears that we might see and hear. I would like you to look for a picture in your mind of you and Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee on a very beautiful, warm summer day. As you walk along the seashore, you can see the hillside of Galilee that's flowing with green grass, which is blowing gently in the breeze. As you look out across the Sea of Galilee, you can see the shimmering surface of the water, and the sun is dancing and reflecting off of it. Way out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, you can see a fisherman in his boat, spending some time alone with his Creator. As you look up, you can see a very beautiful, soft blue sky. Some soft white clouds are drifting lazily by. You can feel a gentle, warm breeze blowing against your back as you walk along with Jesus. You can feel the sun warming you all the way through. As you look over at Jesus, you can see his long flowing white robes and the sandals on his feet. You can feel his love reaching out to you, engulfing you like a cocoon. He is so glad to be with you. The reason he died on Calvary was to restore a love relationship with you. So I'd like you to put a big smile on your face and just say, "Thank you, Lord, for being here." You may find that you put your hand in his hand as you walk along, and if that happens, that's fine. You may even turn into a young child, and if that happens, that's fine too. Let's just tune to flow for a moment. Holy Spirit, take over these scenes and let Jesus come alive and do whatever he wants to do. Just watch. Maybe you'll dance in the field with him, or maybe you'll skip rocks in the water. But just watch for a few moments. With Jesus, I'd like you to turn and look at him and ask him the question that you've underlined or written down. Say, "Lord, what about this?" And then just fix your eyes on Jesus and tune to spontaneity. Begin to write down the spontaneous flow of thoughts that bubble up within you. We're not going to test them now. We're going to write in childlike faith for a few minutes, and we'll test them later. ourselves to you for the next few minutes. I'm going to leave you alone with Jesus, and then we'll come back together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
30 more seconds or so. Before we dismiss, I want to give at least three different people an opportunity to read what you feel God was saying to you, and then let the rest of us see if we think it was God or not. One. Two. Go ahead and come up. We need a man. That was Nacho Libre again.
I think this could be for me, and it also could be for you as a church. I love you. I love you. I love you. You're a part of my bride. You're filled with love, peace, and joy, patience, and kindness. You're thankful. I am in you, and you are in me. I love the communion we have together. Don't stop. I love the joy you have of my creation just for you. My thoughts are for you, and yours are for me.
If you feel that what you heard was God, could you say amen? Thanks, Evelina.
We didn't copy.
We didn't copy.
No. Mm-mm. We almost had the same thoughts. I love you more and more every day. Be with me, never leave me. I have you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and taking all my sins.
This is you to him?
Yes. That you for all the blessings, thank you for all the blessings you bestow upon me and my family and the world. We are so blessed by you. I am so glad you are a part of my life. You bless us with good health and with things we really need. Help my family to know the blessings that I have from you. Help each and every person in here accept you as their Holy Spirit. Help me be always take to you.
Did he say anything back to you when you prayed that to him?
Yes, that he takes care of me, that he will always do these things, and that he will help my family to know all these blessings and all these things.
Thanks, Bunny. If you felt that God's response to her was accurate, would you say amen? What's up, buddy?
Hey. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. That's an unusual question for people to ask up here.
I'm going to try not to be a sobbing mess with this. So.
It's okay if you're a sobbing mess with this.
I asked God, what does he want to say to me? And he said, my son, I love you. I want you to spend more time with me. I want to spend more time with you. Mm-hmm. I'm jealous for your time. Mm-hmm. I want you to be the man I know you are and stand up for me and be my vessel. You're beautiful in my eyes. I love you. Be there for your family. And don't fall into the traps. Don't fall into the traps that ensnare them. Mm-hmm. Pray for them.
Hold on, I got to see that again. So there was, I'm jealous for you. I just read that in the Bible the other day, in Deuteronomy. Stand up for me and be my vessel. I'm seeing a lot of scriptural themes in here, man. Don't fall into the traps that ensnare them and pray for them. This whole thing seems like Bible to me. Is that what you're seeing? Is this Bible? Okay. Thank you so much, man. It's all right, man. Give me a hug, man. Appreciate it. See, this is fairly easy to do, isn't it? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm going to steal it. This is fairly easy to do. You can do this in like 7 minutes a day. Like, read your Bible and pray, but also listen. Don't hog the ball. Let Jesus have a chance. Take some shots. You know what I mean? All right. As usual, if you want prayer, please, we would love to pray with you. If you're sick and you need healing, if you're sad and you need encouragement, or if you just want more strength to serve and love God, please, I encourage you to seek out prayer ministry. If I was going through a really, 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 really hard time, the last thing I would do is skip church, and when I do show up, stay hanging back in the corners. You know what I mean? I would be on my face at this altar getting all the help I could possibly get. Love you. You are officially dismissed.